Okay. I guess we can get started. First of all, my name is Steve Skeenan, and this is supposed to be CSE 392 programming challenges. So if any of you are in the wrong room, you should let me know. Okay, or if you should leave, or if I'm in the wrong room, you should let me know. So this is a sort of special topics class in computer science devoted to sort of algorithmic type problems and programming. And it's sort of an unusual class. And I want to spend some time describing what it is, because it's not clear that everybody who's here should be in here. And it's not clear that everybody who's not in here should not be in here. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about what the course is about. And so basically, the reason this is now the third year this course has been offered in a row. And I started it for a couple of different reasons. One is, I think that computer programming is fun and exciting. And a lot of people who take computer science classes come to the conclusion that computer programming is not fun and not exciting. And one thing that makes it fun is that there's sort of a lot of sort of cute and interesting algorithmic kind of problems, mathematical kind of problems. There's sort of this idea that sometimes you can have a very complicated looking problem. If you work on it a little bit or you see it from the right way, the program is very simple to write. You look at the program from the wrong way, it takes pages of code and it's ugly and it never quite works right. And sort of seeing these kind of cute things is sort of a fun thing that somehow I think has been lost over the last couple of years. You know, a lot of students don't seem to see in the course of their computer science careers. And so I wanted to sort of have a course where people could be sort of motivated to sort of look at some sort of cute programming problems. I also wanted to strengthen the algorithmic intuition that students have. How many people here have taken the CSE 373 class? Okay, a few. How many people have taken 301, the combinatorics class? Okay, discrete math class. Some people say yeah. Okay. So a lot of students don't come out taking algorithm classes, or somehow the world of algorithms has sort of become over the years a smaller and smaller part of computer science in some way. Suddenly people, when I was a student back in the old days, okay, somehow it was before object-oriented programming, and, whenever I wrote a program, I wrote it from scratch, and that was the way it is. And now students, I think a little differently, okay? Somehow, hopefully you think a little differently. You think about object-oriented programming, you think about building things from, but there's sort of a certain, let's say, algorithmic intuition that I think has been lost along the way. And one of the things I want this course to do is to sort of get people to see how fun and interesting it is and maybe develop that in sort of students. Another thing I would like to do is to sort of strengthen the Stony Brook's programming team. Every year there is an ACM programming contest, okay? The International Collegiate Programming Contest that has thousands of students around the world. Something like about 3,000 teams competed in the last year's contest. You're broken into regions. And Stony Brook competes in the Greater New York Regional. And our teams last year finished second and fifth among 54 teams in the region. So we beat Yale, we beat Cornell, at least one of Cornell's teams. We beat Princeton, we beat, not Princeton. We beat Yale, we beat Columbia, we beat NYU. Okay, and somehow what I want this course to do is to sort of be sort of the farm team, if you wish, for our programming teams. Okay, last year at the programming contest, we sent our teams, and they sort of said, oh my God, who's Stony Brook? Okay, this year I want them to say, oh my God, Stony Brook's sending three teams, we're in trouble. Okay, that's sort of one of my dreams here from this course, is to sort of build a group of students who are kind of interested in these kind of things. And so this is sort of what the course is sort of designed to be. And the way that it's going to work is we're going to be giving every week, it's actually going to be sort of a self-motivating, self-driven course. Every week, you're going to be assigned four programming problems to work on. Your grade is going to be a function of the number of programs you get right at the end of the semester. Okay? Now, four programming problems a week means you can't fall behind. Okay. It also means that I don't expect everybody to do all the problems. Okay. But it's sort of the flow of this contest, this course is going to be, is every week you're going to be assigned a new set of four problems We're going to talk a little bit about what the problems are. We're going to talk a little bit about what the theory are, because the problems are going to be grouped by different classes of topics and theory and you know, what makes them interesting. And your job is going to be to get the correct programs for each as many of these problems as you can. Okay? I am not actually going to look at your programs. Okay? Your programs are going to be graded by an automatic robot judge that for everybody your programs is going to say yes it works or no it doesn't work. It says it doesn't work, you have to resubmit it, okay, until it does work. Okay? And the goal is to maximize the number of programs that get right. And in that sense, it monitors the sort of this ACM programming contest. The rules of the course are actually quite similar to the rules of the programming contest, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Any questions about the structure of the course, why it exists, or anything like that? Yeah?
How much algorithm is expected to know?
Okay, so how much algorithms do you expect to know? This is sort of a good question here. How many people, okay, so let me think about my philosophy. Let's first look at the class distribution. How many people here are freshmen? Raise your hand if you're a freshman or a CS1 or however they count that here. Okay? How many people here are sophomores or CS2s? Raise your hand. Okay? How many are juniors or CS3s or whatever that means? Okay, so I'm getting on the order of a little less than half the class. And how many are CS4s? Okay, or seniors, something like that. And how many of the CS4s are, I know that the way they count CS4s here seem to become quite complicated. How many people will still be here next May? How many people will still be at Stony Brook next September if you pass your classes? Okay, so if you will be here, raise your hands. Okay, how many people will graduate and not be here in next year? Okay, fair enough. Okay, so that's good to know. Okay, so what I see is we have a majority of people who are seniors, okay, which is fine. That I have zero problem with. It does mean if you're going to be graduating, you won't be on our ACM programming teams, but that's not important for your purposes. If you fail enough classes, maybe you can stay as on the team next year. Okay? But that's not the purpose of the class. Okay? The question now is what kind of algorithm background should you have? And I guess the following is true. The people who I had in mind to take this course are the people who, you know, I think of themselves as hotshot programmers in some way, okay? These are the kind of people that should have, you know, sort of somehow liked 113 or the cute problems at least in 113 in some way or 214 or something like that. They should like writing programs and find it interesting and find sort of math problems somewhat challenging and interesting, okay? If you're the kind of a student who said, oh no, I hated math, okay? I hated 113. I barely got through, okay, and you should not be in here, especially if you haven't had the algorithms class. So it should depend, you should be interested in sort of, you know, somehow problem-solving kinds of things, okay? Your skills, not all, what kind of algorithm background should you have? In an ideal world, you would have had 373, but that is not a prerequisite. 214 is a prerequisite. Okay, so you need to have had 214 to have that level of programming maturity. You know, you should not be frightened when I talk about a graph, okay, and graph theory a little bit. That should not frighten you. If you haven't had an algorithms class, you're going to have to, you know, when we get to the hardcore algorithmic material, which is probably the second half of the semester, maybe the second two-thirds of the semester, you know, the last two-thirds of the semester, you're probably going to have to work harder to do that. Okay, yes?
I'm registered for CSU 373 this semester as well. I guess it's
teaching. Yeah.
Is that going to help?
The guy who's teaching 373 is good, so I think that I encourage you to take 373 as the first observation. If you're taking 373 at the same time, that's good and that will be helpful. Okay, so I don't have any real problem. If you're taking 373 at the same time, don't worry about it, although you may find that this part of your head is going to start to dominate a lot of your life somehow. If you're taking two courses which have, you know, a certain amount of shared topics and things, they're not going to be completely in sync. Sometimes you're going to be ahead in this class and sometimes you're going to be ahead in the other class. But I don't think it's a bad idea necessarily to take both of them simultaneously. What is One thing that you should realize, though, that's an important thing, is what your graduation date is and where this course fits into your graduation. So this is a special topics course. This is 392. There are not that many spots on the checkoff list for what you need to graduate where this fits. You guys probably know this better than I do. Okay? So if you're a student where you're saying, you know, I plan on graduating next May, and I only have to take, all I have are three hardcore CS classes to take this semester, and next semester, and the semester after that. Taking a lot of programming courses your last few semesters is a very, can be something that is a lot of work. And if your schedule is such that you're a student that has in the past had trouble with some of the CS classes, and you need to have some courses to graduate, okay, and you have a finite schedule, this may or may not be the best one to be taking now, because it doesn't necessarily fit into all your slots. In particular, if you haven't had 373, if you're thinking, gee, should I take CSE 373 or this class, it may very well be that you're better off taking 373, okay, in that you will learn more and you will experience more and things like that, okay? So it's something you have to figure out for yourself, okay? Any questions about that? Okay? Any questions about the course or the style or anything like that? So I'm not trying to scare anybody away, but I'm trying to make sure people use their best judgment. Okay, we'll talk about more about the course today, but think about it where it fits into your life, okay, before you take it. Any questions? Okay, good. Okay, so what is the course about? You should by now have the syllabus. Is there anybody here who does not have the syllabus? Okay, so now you have one. They should be passing around the room. If you don't have the syllabus, are there extra copies of the syllabus?
Yeah.
Pass that down there. If there's not extra copies of the syllabus, everything, all the course, publications are on the web. So that's so if you didn't pick up a syllabus, we can talk. You can get it from the website. The first thing is I'm Steve Skeeter, and you have my email and office phone number if you want to get in touch with me. I'll have office hours Tuesday and Thursday after. I'll be available shortly, for a little while after each class. And the office hours are from 3:45 to 5:15 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The book is, like I say, a book that I'm writing with a colleague of mine, okay, in Spain, and it's going to be published by Springer Verlag in April, okay, so it's too early, which doesn't help you if you're going to need the textbook for the course now. So as you can see, I went over to Kinko's, I bought Xeroxed copies of the book. This is the almost complete version of the book, and I'm selling these for $15, first come, first serve. And I think it's a good investment if you're taking the course. If you're not taking the course, it may not be a bad investment. If you are taking the course, you need to have the book, because we get all the homework assignment problems and things like that are in the book, as well as sort of theory and material that will help you. So I will sell these $15 each at the end of class for anybody, first come, first serve, and hopefully there'll be some interest. There are other books that I list that might be recommended that might help you with certain topics, but now that we have a textbook for the course, that's probably less important. The grading for the course is that every week we're going to be assigning 4 programming assignments, problems, okay? And I expect that basically what I'm going to be grading on is I want there to be a certain amount of class participation. I want to see the students every week, ideally. I know sometimes people don't come to class, but I'd like to see you. I'd like this to be a discussion-type class rather than a lecture-type class. Right now it's feeling big, and I've got the slide projector on, and so it's starting to feel like a lecture class. But I hope that once people start working on problems, we'll be talking about the problems and how you solve them instead, and that's really what I think is going to be more interesting. But basically, the grades are going to be based on the programming problems. My promise is that any student who attends and participates regularly and completes at least one problem per week will get some form of a B, okay? That may be a B minus, okay? I have to see how hard one problem per week is, okay? It shouldn't be that hard, okay? But it's not clear to me, okay? I mean, When I taught this course the first time, several students did not get one problem a week done. Okay, now I've made the problems, one of the good things about the new book is that several of the problems have now been rewritten so they're clearer. Okay, so I think that a lot of the traps that people fell in, hopefully people won't fall into anymore. But I don't promise that. Okay, so on the other hand, and anybody who gets at least two problems done per week and attends regularly will get some form of A. That might be an A minus. Okay, but what I don't want this to be is the question of how you should think about this class. I want it to be a course that people are sort of excited and working and motivated and trying to get problems done each week and coming in every day and saying, "Damn, I couldn't get this problem working. What's wrong?" Okay, rather than the people who are sort of using this, "Oh boy, I can boost my GPA by getting two problems done per week," or "I can get one problem done a week and go to sleep." Okay, that's not the way to be thinking about it. This is hopefully a course that people will get excited about. And if you're not getting excited about it, it's probably not a course to be taking. Okay, that's I guess my feeling. The programs are going to be, like I said, basically each program is going to be done. You get four problems per week. The goal is to maximize the number of problems you solve correctly. Now, our notion of correctly is defined by what the robot judge says is correctly. You are going to be, I'm not going to look at your programs, at least not to grade them. Okay, I may look at the end to make sure that, I am going to look at the end to make sure that there's not similarities between students' programs and things like that. But what I'm not going to do is grade people's programs. Okay, your program is correct if the robot judge says it's correct, and your program is wrong if the program judge says that it's wrong. Okay, there's no arguing with the robot judge, even though the robot judge may very well be mistaken. Okay, so there's no partial credit. Okay, we're only counting what you solved correctly. There's not going to be any midterms or final exam. Okay, so that's good. What I'm hoping to do, though, is that during the course of the semester, I'm hoping we'll run one or maybe two programming contests for fun. Okay, and as we'll talk about the rules for the ACF programming contest, they are actually teamed contests. Okay, three team people on a team, and it might be kind of fun to have a contest, break the class into teams and see how the teams compete and things like that. But that's not going to be a real part of the grades. Any questions about any of this so far? Yes?
Are we allowed to resubmit a program to the robot judge if the first problem we submit was incorrect?
Yes. So with the program, the robot judge is going to say your program is wrong. You then resubmit it, and the judge is going to say your program is wrong. You're supposed to make changes between submissions, or else the judge will keep saying it's wrong. Okay? Judge should be consistent in that regard. But yes, you're allowed to submit it as many times as you want. Okay? And so I expect that it will be somewhat of an iterative process. Yeah.
Is there any solution for the problem will be posted?
Will the solution to the problem be posted? The answer is hopefully not. Okay. So I mean, the goal here is this is one that you're supposed to. Hopefully, we'll talk a little bit about the theory and the ideas here. Okay, as we go along. And so I'm going to hope this will be a discussion thing where on Thursdays we distribute the four problems. We talk about them, we think about them. On Tuesday, I come in and say, "How'd you guys do over the weekend?" And you say, "Yeah, this one was easy, this one was easy. Yeah, this one was tough, like, what was wrong?" And we talk about it, and we try to figure things out. And then hopefully you've got another 2 days to get your programs working before the next round. And so I'm hoping that we will discuss them, and maybe at the end of the week, we'll talk a little bit more about how did people succeed or fail on them. But the vision is there should not be poor program, the hope is that there are not programs around for people to look at or copy from.
After
submission, the answer is no. And one of the reasons is because in a world where other people use this robot judge, it would be a bad thing if there was a source of programs somewhere that people could magically submit to the judge. Okay. So the answer is there won't be programs available, but you are encouraged to talk some among yourselves, and we will discuss solutions and things like that. Any questions? Yeah.
Yes, I think the syllabus said some people have this problem programming Java.
Okay, so let me go through the language issues. Okay, a little bit. The question was about what programming language should you use. Okay, the judge will accept programs in four different languages. You can use C, you can use C++, you can use Pascal, or you can use Java. Now, the Java on the judge is a little bit problematic, as we'll talk about. Okay? So how many people here are comfortable programming in C/C++? Okay, I see about half. How many people here are comfortable programming in Java? Okay, good. How many people are comfortable programming in no language? Okay, those are exactly the people who shouldn't be in here. Okay? Okay? Any questions? I assume no one will want to use Pascal as their programming language, right? Okay, so that makes sense. So the short answer is Java is available. Java is going to take a little longer to get, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of startup time with you in getting Java working, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The first couple of weeks of programs are designed not to involve what I would say complicated new material so much as sort of standard little programming kinds of things. And so if you're a Java person, you should be taking this as a lesson that says, yes, I better make sure I work hard the first couple of weeks to make sure I debug Java so that I'm not debugging Java and my complicated programs at the same time. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So let's look at some other rules of the game. Okay? The official web page for the course is from off of my homepage, which is www.cscnesb.edu/tilde/392. There you'll find hopefully all the handouts, hopefully all the lecture notes, and hopefully audio of the lectures. I have this fancy machine here, which is hopefully digitizing everything that I'm saying in here. And I'm hoping that we will download this and will be on the web. Again, I don't expect you should have that. I'm not saying anything, but for the most part, that's so deep that you're going to need to hear it twice. Okay, but hopefully it will be there if people need it. What else is there? Now, the book has a web page. There's going to be two different robot judges that you're going to have to use during the course of the semester. Okay, there is a robot judge at www.programming-challenges.com. That is the official web page of the new book. And that is designed to support the book exactly. It has all the problems in the book have judges neatly available. You should be able to click and submit things over the web, and it'll be very nice. Now, the trouble is you're the first people in the world to be using this programmingchallenges.com, okay? The odds that it works right initially is vanishingly small, okay? So, so I encourage you to go and right after class, go and sign on, try to get an account there, okay? I'm not completely sure that the account system works there right either, okay? Again, this is something we're developing in parallel. The guy who's actually building this is in Spain, okay? And you'll see why in a minute. But so one of the things we want to do is to debug programmingchallenges.com. The other programming judge that we have is at the University of Valladolid, which is in Spain. And its URL is online-judge.uva.es. Now, the nice thing is all the problems in the book, in principle, should be graded, be able to be graded by the exact same program should pass or fail both of these judges. Okay? The people who are working with me to develop the programmingchallenges.com are exactly the people who build and maintain the Spanish judge. Okay? So you should register for both judges, okay, and try them and try to submit the programs. If you have trouble with programming challenges this weekend, okay, send me an email about what your trouble is, and I will forward this to my crony in Spain. Okay, and eventually, if he gets enough such trouble, okay, those problems will go away. If you want to get working and you seem like you're stuck on that judge, go and submit the programs on the UVA judge. Okay, and so you should not be. If one of these judges is down, you should still be able to work. Okay, that should not be a problem. Any questions? Okay. So register and use your real names and email addresses so that I know that I can track you down later if I have to. Any questions? Okay. Students are supposed to work on the problems individually. You're welcome to discuss it among yourselves, And you're welcome, you know, but you have to write your own code.
Okay.
And one of the features of the programmingchallenges.com is a cheat detect thing for the back end. So it will sort of be a way that the person who's managing the class can punch a button and find out which programs are similar. So don't do something stupid. This is not a course to do something stupid in, because it's a course to have fun in.
Okay.
If you're, you know, you're cheating or you're doing something like that, you're not having fun.
Okay.
And you will not have fun if we catch you. So that would be a bad thing. You're allowed to look on in any books you want, but you're not allowed to search the web.
Okay.
This is an honor thing, saying, hey, you can't stop me from searching the web. You're right. I can't stop you from searching the web.
Okay.
Hopefully you wouldn't find anything if you're searching the web. I don't have anything in mind that I'm trying to stop you from seeing. But one of the rules of the ACM programming contest is you're allowed to use books and not the web.
Okay?
And so to mirror this condition, that's good. In case there's somebody who happens to have solutions someplace on the web, it'd be good if you didn't find them. Okay? I don't know of any such thing, so I'm not trying to keep you from something, and I'm not trying to encourage you to look. But, yeah. Java.sun is fine.
Okay.
Java.sun, we're not worried about Java.sun. Yeah.
I'm just curious, how would the books exactly help you?
Well, the books are going to be about, okay, algorithm, you know, a book about, suppose let's say you look at this problem and you say, hey, you know, this is a problem on shortest paths. Okay. Now, something about Dijkstra's algorithm. You now need to know how Dijkstra's algorithm works. It might be reasonable that you go to your algorithms book and figure out, say, oh yeah, what was Dijkstra's algorithm? And it might be that it pays to go there. Okay. So that's why books might be helpful, okay? In principle, the book that I gave you was designed to be self-contained and as helpful as it needs to be. But, but when you go to these programming contests, some schools come in carrying, you know, a library full of books. It's not clear that they end up using them, but, you feel better knowing your algorithms book is there or your programming language manual, things like that. And Java.sun is fine for looking up syntax in Java. Don't worry about that. What else can we say? So in principle, the most current version of all the problems should be the printout in the book.
Okay.
So, the version of the problem as described on the website, the University of Valladolid website, is probably a little bit different than the one that's written in the book. We have carefully tried to make the one in the book clear and not confusing and cleared up bugs. So you're much better off reading the problem from the book than any place else. Hopefully soon the book versions will appear on programmingchallenges.com. I'm not sure if that's there yet. Okay? But if you look at older versions, you might find them more confusing or difficult to read.
Okay?
We spend a lot of time rewriting the problems and, you know, validating the input and output so that hopefully you avoid a lot of problems. Any questions? The other question is that, do your own work, because it sort of defeats the whole purpose of the course, if not. Any questions? Okay, so what else do we have? My hope is that the lectures will be informal. You know, I don't really like the idea of this being a course where we're constantly looking at transparencies. I'm hoping that this is going to be one where we're going to have discussions. But any notes I have and slides I have, I'll drop on the web. You're not allowed to cheat. If you have a learning disability or something that I should know about, let me know. I'd like to hope that the course is going to be small enough that we can get, I can get to know the people here,
okay,
and that we'll have, some interaction. One thing I hope to do is, with my course, I'd like to occasionally have a pizza with the prof, where a couple times a semester I'll have a sign-up sheet out at my door, and the first 5 to 10 people who sign up, we'll have pizza together, and that might be a way to get to know you guys better, things like that. Any questions? Okay, so what is the schedule for the semester? Every week, the book has 14 chapters, the semester has 14 weeks. That means we're going to be doing 1 week per chapter. And the basic mission, the first day of the week, the class of the week, we will give out the problems. You're supposed to, we'll talk about them a little bit, okay? You're supposed to go off and try to solve them over the weekend. And we will discuss what your issues are and maybe some more material in the next class,
okay?
And so hopefully, there's a cycle where you start working on them quickly. Try to see what you can do,
okay?
And then, The next class is where we try to debug things and explain theory and things like that. Any questions? Yeah.
The programs handed out today, they're due next Thursday?
The programs handed out today are due next Thursday. Okay. And now what happens if programmingchallenges.com does not work? They are due next Thursday. Okay. So we're going to be moving at a chapter per week through the semester. Okay. Your goal is to get as many as you can working. I don't expect everyone to get all of them working. Okay. But it's important that you submit things